Amen. Well, bless the Lord. And thank you for the welcome. Or maybe that's plurals because several people have welcomed me personally this morning. And it is a joy to be back here with you. And yes, I'm sorry that we're hidden behind masks and things, but praise the Lord, we're getting there. And he doesn't look on our faces, he looks on our hearts. So maybe we should do more of the same. But bless the Lord, and I thank the Lord for the opportunity to come and share with you. And as Gordon was praying earlier, the joy of traveling around the countryside is a highlight for me. It's certainly not a burden. And yesterday I was driving from Crieff to Cooper. Today it was Crieff to Cowdenbeath. Why it's all seas, I don't know. But either way, both journeys just absolutely glorious. What a creation God has made. And the part of the creation that we dwell in is just amazing. So I praise his name and I just thank him for the opportunity to come and to share with you. This morning, the passage of scripture I've taken is from 2 Corinthians and at chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And what we're looking at today is ministry from the clay. Ministry from the clay. I find this quite an amazing passage of scripture, and I'll say more in a moment. But let's share the word of God together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, let light shine out of darkness. May his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Christ, so that the life of Christ may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work within us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. A long passage to read, but I'm only going to be focusing on a couple of areas for us this morning as I bring this message. And I'll just share with you that yesterday we had a time of reflection gathering in the Cooper Church. And for the opening scripture, I just read these final few words, the final three verses of this chapter. And even to read those few verses, I made the comment that it's not easy. It's not easy. We know the Lord is there. We know the Lord is touching our lives. And yet, we still have problems. We still have difficulties. And I know I've done it. I've been there. I'm guilty. I've been in that place where I've shouted at the Lord, "Why don't you heal me? You're the healer. You're the God that can do this. I believe it. Why can't you heal me?" When I was shouting that at God, by the way, I was only a year or so into my first ministry in Oban. And I was stricken with a muscular thing that went through my body. It was never defined medically, but it affected me to the point where I couldn't stand. I had to stop doing services for several months. And then one of the lessons, and there are many, many, many lessons that Lord taught me in that session, but one of them was that when I did start to preach once again, I couldn't stand like I am now. I couldn't stand in the pulpit. Quite a wide platform, and the pulpit was at the back of the platform. What they had to do was to put a chair on the front of the platform. And I sat on the chair to preach. Bible on my lap, notes on my lap. And the difference really struck my heart. I felt as though I was handing out the words of God to the people who were so much closer. And there was so much more contact. I don't think I ever settled back into the pulpit. I always wanted to preach from the front of the platform and have that contact. It was there I realized that my task, like Jesus' word to Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And that was the part of the ministry that I was being called to, part of the ministry that the Lord wanted me to unfold. And it's that idea of ministry and activity that the Lord gives to each one of us that I want us to think about today. Again, part of what's going on in my life in these last few months has just awakened in me the two characters of Peter and Paul. And how they came from almost completely different parts of the triangle or the circle of life, if you like. Paul, the fisherman, not educated, and we just see quite a lot of mistakes in the Gospels. You know, he was the one that said, "No, Lord, you don't wash my feet." And he was the one that denied Jesus 3 times. And so many more mistakes that Peter made. And yet, we're doing a series on 1 Peter in Cooper and looking at what Peter has to say there against his character before. It's quite amazing. And Paul, as we come to the words relayed by Paul, again, the change, it's different because he came from the other side, if you like, of the academic quality. He was there, he was the man, he was educated, he knew what was what, but he was brought to the center. And it's amazing to me how Peter and Paul in the New Testament, their words come together. And the Lord has used 2 very different characters to present his word. There are more characters involved, of course, but it's just the focus of those 2 that has struck my mind. And what I want to share with us this morning is exactly that, that the Lord can take any one of us. And I'm going to change that phrase. The Lord can take everyone, anyone. He can use you. Ministry is not just about a reverend and qualification and college and all of that. Ministry is in various forms. Yes, there is a pastoral ministry and a church ministry which requires training and requires us to be nurtured into, but there's a wider ministry. There's a wider ministry that each and every person can be involved in. And I would just ask you to do a check on yourself. What is my ministry? What is it I'm called to do? What am I doing for the Lord? Some people would say that it's about, you know, spreading the gospel and sharing the gospel at every opportunity. No, not always. Some people, yes, that may be, but I've found more for me. It's a case of waiting and waiting for that question, the opening that lets me step in and share. As we look at Paul here, as I say, the title that I've given to this message is the ministry from the clay. Ministry from the clay. And there's 3 themes in this chapter that I want to focus on. First of all is the clay. Secondly, the ministry. And thirdly, the glory. Clay, ministry, glory. In verse 7 of our passage, we read, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Clay. Paul is describing himself as a jar of clay, vulnerable, cheap. Nothing really of any worth. But what is of worth is within him, in this jar of clay. Let's say, he describes the suffering, he describes the difficulties, and we all experience that. And this last period is demonstrating that we all experience difficulties. We can't pretend there is no problem. I do remember a preacher standing up in front of a whole crowd. It was a big assembly. And his words were, "I haven't got a cold. I've just got the symptoms." How does that work? I couldn't work it out at the time, and I never have since, because the truth was, he had a cold. And the symptoms were the evidence of the cold. We are clay pots. We are vulnerable. We get colds. We get sicknesses. We get hurt. And Paul, like everyone, is vulnerable. And he likens himself to jars of clay. But the contrast that Paul is writing about here is the treasure within that jar of clay. It's as if he's shouting out, "This isn't about me. This is about the Lord in me." And that's where we are at for each one of us, wherever you go. I've been always amazed, particularly for some strange reason, the two high schools that I worked with in Oban and Crieff. I didn't go in there to sort of slam the gospel. At times I was in there, but I discovered that I would hear odd comments that told me that just being there changed things for people. Just being there. And that's how God can work in and through us. I love to tell the story of when I was in chief invigilating for exams, and one of the jobs that I liked to do was to stand outside the exam hall, because it was a main corridor going by. It was actually a public corridor to the leisure centre. And of course, all the pupils going down for PE and so on would also pass through this corridor during exams. And I would stand there going, "Shh, shh." And there was all of those who didn't want to shush. And one day a boy passed by, and I had quite difficult times with this lad. I recognized him, I knew him. But as he passed by, he went by quietly. But then a few feet away, he suddenly started in a loud voice, and he deepened his voice, and he said, "I may not be a bendy banana." Do you know that song? "I may not be a squishy tangerine. I may not be the biggest apple in the tree, but I know that God loves me." He didn't actually finish the song because I'd shushed him. But that was a song that I'd sang at his primary school with my guitar. And quite honestly, I was in tears and saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that that truth was in him, that God loves him." I didn't have to try to get it into him. I was just there singing songs with my guitar. Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, where it says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." You don't have to be strong. You don't have to be a super person. You just have to be a willing vessel for the Lord. It's about willingness. And the weaker you are, the more perfect is God's power. Again, I look back and I can remember a lady we used to call a Canny Margaret. And I called her Canny Margaret because ask her to do almost anything. "Oh, Canny." She didn't consider herself fit. She didn't consider herself able. But the truth is, we don't have to consider ourselves able and fit. Again, that was one of the big lessons that I had to learn. I came from a background with IBM computers, and I'd sort of gone through the levels of IBM, and when I was going to the pastorate in Crieff, I thought, I can manage a church like this. I think we're 35 members or something. And I felt as I'd been trained at the Baptist College, and I'd had a successful student pastorate, and I was it. But then the Lord had to show me, son, it's not about you. It's about me in you and through you. That was all part of the lesson that I had to learn. Vessels, clay vessels, demonstrate the life of God. And the challenge for us is, what's being demonstrated through my life? Verse 1 of this passage, Paul says, since through God's mercy we have this ministry. He has a God-given ministry. He recognizes it. And I want to urge you to recognize what God is doing in and through your life. I hope in giving you examples, I've not demonstrated Richard Tuckley today. I've just been there as a channel working through this vulnerable jar of clay. In my cleverness, that wasn't it. It was God working in simplicity. And it's a case of accepting, receiving. We've received this ministry, Paul said, and I want to urge you to receive the ministry that God is giving to each one of you. By setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It's in the ministry that he's saying that. It's not him. It's not Paul. The commendation that he has given is based on the two premises, the frailty of the clay jar and the ministry sourced in God, his call, his anointing. One of the things that I have said so many times, particularly I think in Crieff, is that God can, in fact, I've said it here, but I think it was in the hall. It's just coming back to mind. God can use the most humble person in this room. God can use you. But I urge you to think and to accept what God is doing and what God is calling in each of you, in each one of us. Paul has that personal ownership and confidence, but it's all in the Lord. It's not about himself. And he proclaims Jesus Christ as Lord. And that's the third point. The clay, the ministry, the glory. The glory goes back to the Lord. It's all of the Lord's doing. We do not preach ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ, our Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. Ourselves as servants. And again, I had to learn about servanthood and what it meant to serve the people. It didn't mean being the manager, as IBM taught me. It meant being the shepherd, guiding, leading, feeding this flock of sheep. The glory is all the Lord's. He exalts Jesus as Lord and humbles himself to the status of servant or slave. it's made me think more and more about church life. And I think probably particularly I'm thinking about this because of my role as interim moderator at Cooper, that the role of deacon, that word deacon, it means servant. It means servant. So often there's a temptation to use ministry for the purpose of self-exaltation. Some people, sadly, manipulation. Human nature is so tempted to exalt itself. But Paul's example here is to humble ourselves and exalt the Lord. And in that way, it also causes the recipients of the ministry to give thanks to the Lord. We see in verse 15, and Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. The Lord wants it to be evident. It's not to be hidden. That's Jesus. He's saying, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, but give the glory to your Father in heaven. So don't tell yourself, I can't do it. Get your focus off the objections. Get your focus on, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want to be a vessel in your hands. Your ministry, Lord, is perfect. Lord, let me be your servant. And that's where we can be until one day, we all enter the glory of the Lord in eternity. By reading the last few verses of the chapter to the people in Cooper yesterday, that was the message that I wanted to give to them. This is a time of trial. It's difficult. And life is difficult. But if we could get the perspective that life, however long we may see it in numbers of years, that life is so brief in the context of eternity. It's hard for us to get our minds around because, you know, we can only think in terms of time and measuring time by the minute, the hour, the day, the week, and the year, and so on. Eternity. Eternity has no time. So this period of difficulty, living a life as a human, as a clay jar, is so brief in comparison to that glory in the presence of the Lord in eternity. What a future we have. And if nothing else, surely that should inspire our hearts and our minds. Let's take a moment in prayer. Let's just take a moment of stillness and quietness for a minute or so to reflect on, Lord, have I been promoting myself? Or have I been hiding? Lord, am I open to you? Can I be like Paul, a clay jar with a valuable treasure of ministry? Just spend a moment before the Lord. Gracious Father, thank you, Lord, that you have chosen and you want to use the likes of us in the work of your kingdom here on earth. Lord, what an amazing, incredible privilege. And I pray, Father, for each one of us, Lord, that each of us may understand more of what it is to be a servant with the ministry of God. Father, to know that even when we go out on the street or into a shop or a store, Lord, we take your kingdom. Father, how that works out, Lord, sometimes is beyond our thinking, but Lord, help us to rise above the limitations of our humanity and to step out strongly because it's about you and not about us. Father, thank you for the opportunity. Lord, as we've prayed, this time is so challenging. We see the difficulties of leadership in every direction. They can't do right for wrong, and they can't please all the people all the time. But Father, Lord, we know that you're the God who knows the end from the beginning. And you're the God who, from even this time of trial, can raise up success, triumph, value. So, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to fix our eyes upon you. And to look to you more and more and more every day and every moment of every day. Father, we pray in and through the name above all names, the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.